This is the BBC.
Yeah, I'll bet you can't say that without moving your lips.
Why on earth should I?
Because it's clever. Haven't you ever heard those ventriloquists? They do it all the time. Go on, have a go.
I don't want to.
Oh, go on, don't be bashful. There's nobody listening.
No.
Oh, go on, Archie.
No. Go away and leave me alone.
Oh, correct me if I'm wrong, but do I detect a slight cooling off in your attitude towards me?
Yes.
Well, why?
Well, if you must know, I find you uncouth, ill-mannered, coarse, brash, unkempt, shabby, vulgar. And amongst my intellectual circle of friends, you would appear an oaf, a bore, and a lout.
Oh, well, as long as nothing personal. We'll go on then and announce the program.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you're quite finished. You don't mind if I carry on. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever happens during the next 30 minutes will certainly be beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Bombardier Supplesley Pidmarsh, Lady Angela Tipton Thawker, Gunga Jones, Detective Inspector Simon Chudd, Vernon Cravat, the Marchioness of Sidcup, and of course Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello, good evening, and first of all, here's a special message to all girl holidaymakers about to take off for dinner. Put it on again for supper. Well, now, tonight I was going to tell you some jokes about taxidermists, but it was really just a lot of stuff and nonsense. So instead, let me tell you some of the things that happened to me last week. On Monday, I did a sort of riding in Hyde Park. Well, actually, I go quite regularly to Rotten Row. In fact, that's how it got its name. But it wasn't a very successful day, because after I'd fallen twice into a pool of muddy water, everybody else kept pointing out my filthy habits. On Wednesday, I was taken to see Cheddar Gorge. But unfortunately, by the time I got there, he'd finished. But later, I popped into my club where my dining companion was one of the newer members, a completely new chap, actually. I didn't know him from Adam. Except, of course, he was dressed rather differently. What an extraordinary fellow. At first, I couldn't understand why he had pins, needles, and nails stuck all over him. Until we were introduced, and then I found out he was a steel magnet. Oh, dear, filthy habits, I like it. Well, now, Thursday. Oh, yes, Thursday, Bessie had gone away for a few days, and that evening I decided to throw a party. I don't remember much about it, but I do know that on Friday morning I woke up with a terrible head. It was mine. Oh, dear. Perhaps I'll feel better if I get up. Oh, well, that's got my head off the pillow. Now, what should I wear today? Something quiet, I think. I know, my tweeds with a BBC pattern. Very small check. I suppose they're in the wardrobe here. Good heavens.
No, Miss George. Yeah, I hope you don't mind me spending the night in your wardrobe, but well, it did get rather late and the last train had gone, so, well, I just sort of hung around in here. Anyway, I must be off now, but thanks for a lovely party. Bye.
Bye. Honey, I don't remember inviting Dame Edith Evans. Oh, well, I'll just get dressed and go downstairs. Oh, Prudence.
I'm in the lounge, sir.
Oh, right. Good gracious, we must have had a good time.
What should have been you did, sir? Just look at this. Ash all over the carpet, crisps in the piano, gherkins in the grandfather clock. Look, look what I found in the vacuum cleaner.
Morning, Horn.
Well, if it doesn't dunk this Abbotson.
Oh, you mean Duncan Savisham, the author?
That's right, madam.
The one who wrote that book, Get Clear, My Lovely.
Yes?
Oh, you know, my friends will never believe me when I tell them I picked up Duncan Savisham this morning.
You and your vacuum cleaner, lady driver. Honestly, on there was I having 40 winks under the chaise long when along comes this lady in her infernal machine and whiz-bang, psh, ka-doing, and I was back. It's like some beastly serpent.
Oh. It'll be deep ash on that trunk there. Never mind. Tell me, what's it like in a vacuum cleaner?
Oh, not adjusted. Pretty party, wasn't it? By the way, who was that charming girl I spent the evening with?
Dunster, that was your wife.
Wife? Oh, so that's how she carries on with strange men, is it? Where is she?
Well, she must be around here somewhere.
Sara! Sara! Where are you, Sara?
Oh, I say, Dunster, look, there she is.
Sara, whatever are you doing on the chandelier?
I don't know. I must have gone outside of life.
Come down this minute.
All right.
Well, perhaps he'll be a bit more level-headed now, and...
And talking of heads, oh... Well, sir, you're right, Horn. You know, you were going it a bit over at the sidewalk.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, the last time I saw you, you were twiddling the knobs on the drawers, glaring into the mirror and muttering, this is the worst program I've seen yet.
Well, I was having a bit of trouble with the vertical hold.
Oh. From where I was standing, you were having a bit of trouble holding yourself vertical. Well, come along, Thalia. We must be off now. Oh, my goodness, I just remembered. I left the car running.
Does it matter?
Yes, it's running down Kensington High Street. Oh, my head.
Now, look here, sir. I've got the very thing for you. There, you just drink this.
What is it?
Vodka and tomato juice. Now, go on, drink it up.
All right, here we go. I think you put too much tomato juice in it. Oh, dear, it's starting again.
Don't be silly, sir. That's the door. I'll go.
Oh, come in, dear.
Hello, Tim.
Good heavens, it's Pat Lancaster. Pat, sing something soothing for me, will you?
Well, Tim, the number I've chosen this week is Beat Up the Town.
Oh, dear. Well, never mind. Go ahead and sing. And, Pat.
Yes, Tim?
Not too loud.
Tonight, I'm on a celebration that'll shake the nation to the core. I'm gonna beat, 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 beat up the town the way it's never been done before. Tonight, I'm on a special mission, every inhibition out of sight. I'm gonna let my hair come tumbling down. I'm gonna beat up the town tonight. Come on, it's time to stop. There's wonderful trouble ahead. I'll tear the joint apart and paint it a beautiful red. Tonight I'm on a proper buster and my head is just a little light. And with tomorrow's sorrows ready to drown, I'm gonna beat up the town tonight. I'm gonna dance, I'm gonna shout a bit. I wanna shake the place and knock the place about a bit. I wanna wake it up and shake it up, and then I wanna break it up and get this silly bloody duddy out of it. I wanna do my level best to see that no one gets any rest. Tonight I'm on a celebration that'll shake the nation to the core. I'm gonna beat, 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 beat up the town the way it's never been done before. Come on, it's time to stop. There's wonderful trouble ahead. I'll tear the place apart and paint it a beautiful red. Tonight I'm on a proper buster and my head is just a little light. I'm with Tomorrow's sorrow's ready to drown. I'm gonna beat, 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 beat up the town. Shake and break and beat up the town to the
Johnny, I thought I feel much better now, and thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Well, sir, what are you going to do with yourself on your afternoon off?
Oh, thank you, Putin. So much for the talk. Well, now, I don't quite know, really.
Well, here's an entertainment guide. Say, look, it's what to do and where to do it in London. That ought to give you some idea.
Yes, thanks, Sir Prudence, it does. But just the same, I'll browse through it. Now, let's see. Exhibition.
The Ideal Girl Exhibition. A novel display of femininity run entirely on the lines of the motor show. There are several fascinating models. For instance, the housewife. A handy family model which makes a good runabout and comes in useful to do shopping. If properly maintained, it's quite economical, but it needs a lot of attention, and if it's left parked for too long, it's inclined to emit suspicious sounds. Or even blow a gasket.
In contrast, we have the Mayfair, a mink-lined limousine type, run exclusively on dry sherry, and does about 30 nightclubs for the gallon. The page work is immaculate, and it doesn't give a hoot.
However, if you prefer a neat little continental model, there's the Parisienne, which of course is faster than any of the English models. It has a streamlined body and always gives winking signals. Not to mention its automatic clutch.
Ah, kill Thomas. Well, it's certainly an unusual idea, but I think I'll stick to my pre-war Betsy. Now, what else is on? Ah, now, here are some suggestions.
At the Schweinhund Opera House in Grimsted, we are presenting The Bastard Bride by Schmettern. Music lovers will recall that The Bastard Bride was Schmettern's most successful work.
Well, he must have made a lot of money out of it. Obviously, he knew which side his bride was bartered on.
No joke, please.
Film. For the real cinema lover, why not try the picture drone? Fair enough, doubt. At the Vogue, Swiss Cottage, there is a film repertory season. On Monday, Richard III.
On Tuesday night, The Barrister of Wimpole Street.
On Wednesday, Richard III.
On Thursday, The Barrister of Wimpole Street. And on Friday, it is gala night when we shall present
Richard III meets The Barrister of Wimpole.
Well, there's nothing so far that appeals to me.
So would you make up your mind, sir?
No, Prudence, I don't know what to do this afternoon. Really, I don't. I just feel like going somewhere where it's quiet and dark and there's not too many people.
Oh. Well, sir, why not go to the theatre?
That's a good idea. I'll do a matinee. Now, let's see what's on. Lady Chatterley's Lover, A Simple Tale of Country Folk. Oh, bother, it's closed for the Harvest Festival. I didn't know it. Ah, now, this is more my cup of tea. Tessie O'Shea, Peggy Mount, and Hattie Jake in Little Women. I've decided, Prudence, I'm going to the Parthenon.
But, sir, what about your lunch?
Oh, yes. Now, what am I going to do about my lunch? I got it. Paul. Jolly good lunch, that was. Thank you. Nice to have it on a musical bridge, too. Well, now, here we are outside the Parthenon Theatre.
Yeah, you thinking of going in, sir?
Yes, I'm on.
Oh, I wouldn't advise it. This play is, well, as I put it, a bit empty.
No. Well, how can you say that? I mean, just look at this poster of press criticisms. I mean, that one, for instance. This play must be seen.
Oh, that's an old dodge. See that row of dots in the middle? Well, what he actually said was this. This play must be the worst thing ever to have been put on. To be believed, it has to be seen.
Oh, I see. Yes.
See?
Now, look, exactly who are you?
The theatre manager.
What, you mean to say you stand out here running the play down, turning people away, and you're the manager of the theatre?
Oh, no, not this one. The one next door. Now, if you want something really a bit spicy, yeah, and rather sexy and passionate and all that sort of carry on, you want to come to our place. The play's not bad, either.
No, I'm going to go in here.
Oh, well, please yourself. Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. Oh, good afternoon, miss. I'll have a box, please.
Certainly, sir. Through the door, sir.
Right.
Cursing that I would have done had I known what I know now.
Goodness, it's finished.
We would like to thank you for being a wonderful audience. And so, on behalf of my fellow players and myself, I would like to say thank you, madam.
Author!
We know you are, madam.
I never saw the play after all. However, instead I popped along to the park, sat in a deck chair, and listened to Songs for Strolling Lovers, as played by the Malcolm Mitchell Trio.
I found a little honey who thrills me through and through. Roses in her golden hair and dressed in pearly blue. I'm always thinking of her wherever I may be. Cause I love the bonny blue gal who gave her heart to me. Her arms are where I want to be. Cause I love the bonny blue gal who gave her heart to me.
I love the bonny blue gal who gave her heart to me.
And she's got the love of heaven shining in her eyes.
Brighter than the stars above and bluer than the sky.
And everything about her suits me to a T.
I live for the bonny blue gal who gave her heart to me.
Her arms are where I want to be. For I love the bonny blue gal who gave her heart to me.
I love the bonny blue gal who gave her heart to me.
No matter where I travel, she's with me all the way.
Close to me within my heart for every night and day.
As soon as I can make it, I'll hurry back to see
my sweetheart, the bonny blue gal who gave her heart to me.
Her arms
are where I want to be.
Cause I love the bonny blue gal who gave her heart to me.
I love the bonny blue gal who gave her heart to me.
I'm gonna quit my wandering, I'm gonna settle down.
Find a little house for us way out beyond the town.
I'm gonna get us in there and throw away the key.
And love the bonny blue gal who gave her heart to me.
Her arms
are where I want to be.
For I love the bonny blue gal who gave her heart to me.
I love the bonny blue gal who gave her heart to me.
I love my bonny blue gal.
And so we come to the special Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, each week at this time, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And tonight, we present a close-up on love and marriage. Can there be one without the other?
And if so, what's her address? Well, now, first of all, let's get a few opinions on what constitutes a happy marriage. Now, sir, excuse me, are you happily married?
Yes, the missus and me have been married now for 20-odd years, and our recipe for success is mutual understanding.
I see, splendid. And so you and your wife have a perfect understanding.
Oh, yeah, we do. You see, I feel that married couples should always have a certain amount of personal freedom.
For example?
Well, one night a week she has a night out with the girl.
I see.
And one night a week I do the same.
Well, now, let's ask another gentleman. Excuse me, sir.
Oh, it's no good asking me. I'm in dead trouble.
Why? What's the matter?
My secretary caught me kissing the wife.
Oh. Well, now, how about you, sir?
Well, of course, my job takes me traveling all over the country. And to tell you the truth, I only manage to get home to the wife for about 3 hours a week. But it's not bad, really. 3 hours soon passes.
But to get the real truth, one has to go to Hollywood, where we ask the leading Hollywood film personality.
Well, you know, a lot of jokes are made about our marriages here in Hollywood, but of course it's possible for two film stars such as myself and my wife to live together in harmony and contentment. We don't find that our individual careers clash with our married lives. It's all a question of respecting each other and seeing each other's point of view.
Oh, thank you, sir. It's most enlightening. Now, when were you married?
This morning.
Of course, marriage can sometimes go astray, particularly when the other woman appears on the scene. Take, for instance, this case.
Do you know what she's done, Edith? She's been and gone and run off with another woman.
Oh. Well, Brent, if I was you, I'd do something about it.
Oh, that's just what I'm going to do. I'm getting on right now to that detective agency.
Madam.
Yes. Hello. Detective agency?
That is correct. The Pinkerton Pyro Sherlock Drabbin Detective Agency. At your service. Count Moriarty speaking.
Oh, good. Now listen. My husband has gone away with another woman. I want you to put your best man on the job, and I want them followed day and night, wherever they go.
Very good, madam. And then?
And then I want a full report on what she sees in him.
Yes, one man's mate is another man's poison. But now let's take a backward glance into history, and particularly to the great lovers of history. For instance, Antony and Cleopatra. What did Antony really think of Cleopatra?
Oh, what a figure that girl had. You should have seen it. XXIV. XXI. XXIII.
And what did Cleopatra think of Antony?
Well, let's face it, he's no Marlon Brando, is he?
Now let's turn to Henry VIII, who, as we all know, had six wives.
Anne Boleyn.
Off with her head.
Catherine of Aragon.
Off with her head.
Anne of Cleves.
Off with her head.
And thus was born the expression, chopping and changing. Oh, dear, it's quite funny, but completely inaccurate. It doesn't matter. However, let us pass swiftly on to another pair of famous lovers, Napoleon and Josephine.
Oh, Napoleon, you started me coming in like that.
Josephine, what are these men's boots doing in your bedroom?
Oh, these? They're Wellington boots.
Finally, we recreate the famous meeting of King Charles and Nell Gwynn.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles.
I say, Rodney, who is that captivating wench over there?
She's Mistress Nellie Gwynn, sire.
Yes, looks pretty model.
My dear Charles, I couldn't agree with you more.
And you know, Rodney, she has something that really appeals to me.
Then, sire, shall I?
No, 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 Rodney. Leave this to me. I say, you, come here. Half a dozen oranges, please.
Well, so much for history. Now let's come right up to date. And what could be more up to date than the Marriage Bureau, a modern, efficient method of selection where you can choose your life partner from a card index? Our reporter, Cecil Snaith, is waiting now at a well-known Marriage Bureau in Kingston-on-Thames. So over to Cecil Snaith.
And here I am at the Self-Service Marriage Bureau, and I might describe this place as a sort of mail order house. Yes, here a woman can pick herself a husband to her own specifications. And I'm told by the principal that many successful matches have been made here. Well, of course, we're hoping to have a word with one of the typical inquiries. And yes, there's a lady coming in now. She's rather older than the usual applicant. Grey hair, rather genteel. In fact, she rather reminds me of... Oh. Granny. And with that, we return you to the studio.
Thank you, Cecil Snaith. Well, of course, we can't hope to cover every aspect of such a controversial subject as marriage, but in the continual search for the key to true happiness, one important factor emerges. It is indeed the little things that count, and above all else, a woman demands that her husband should notice her.
Hello, darling. Oh, dear, I've had such a trying day at the office. J.B. was in one of his moods again. I say, Caroline, what's for dinner?
Reggie, haven't you noticed anything different about me?
Huh? No, don't tell me. Let me guess. I know, you've had your hair done.
No.
You've bought a new dress.
No.
Your nails, they're a different color.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, I give up. What is it?
I've grown a moustache.
Finally, we thought it'd be a good idea to end the survey of marriage by bringing to the microphone the happiest couple in Great Britain. Well, now then, Mr. and Mrs. Tipley, tell us all about yourself.
We've been happily married now for about 60 years, haven't we, Felicity?
That's right, Angus. 60 years, 2 months, and 4 days.
And in all that time, we've never had a cross word, have we, darling?
No, never.
Yes, that's right, never had a cross word.
Well, that really is remarkable. Yes. Thank you.
No, no, wait a minute. We've got to be honest about this. We did have a tiny little tip once.
But that was a long time ago.
Way back in 1914 it was.
1950.
No, 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 1940.
Ambrose, dear, you made a mistake.
Felicity.
Yes?
Shut your gob.
Oh, dear, don't you use that dirty soldier's language to me.
Talk to you anyway I want to, you old buffoon.
Sure, I'm a buffoon, am I? Now I can see the sort of man you really are.
I'll tell you something else, too. Your brother's an old buffoon as well, him and his snuff.
Oh, that does it, Ambrose Skipley. I'm going home to Mother.
Good riddance, too.
Look, I'm terribly sorry about all this. I never dreamt of anything like this.
Oh, don't you worry yourself, young man. These things happen after all. It's only a lover's quarrel. Hey, Felicity, I didn't mean to call you a buffoon, and I do like snuff.
Oh, really. Now that's better.
Come back, you old faggot.
Well, there you are. This is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought. Should fat passengers on ocean liners be given a wide berth? Good night. You're likely listening to, or have just missed, Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show which gave employment to Kenneth Horne, and also to Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Ron Moody, Patricia Lancaster, the Malcolm Mitchell Trio, and the BBC Variety Orchestra, conducted by Paul Fenderley. The script, believe it or not, was written, and letters of complaint should be sent to Eric Merriman and Barry Took. However, the onus must inevitably fall on our producer, Jake Brown.